which is taken from the book of John, at verse 20, starting at verse 19. Chapter 20, starting at verse 19.
Praise and glory to God.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus has said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the gospel of Christ.
Christ the word.
Sounds like there's some good conversations going on. I'd now like to, it is my pleasure to invite Rosie Fife up, and I'd just like to pray for her. Jesus, we thank you so much for this wonderful woman and her obedience to your call on her life. And I pray now as she shares from your word that you would fill her afresh with your spirit and that we would have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, that'd be good. Tēnā koutou katoa, it's really good to be with you all today. For me, it feels a bit like coming home, partly because I was ordained in the Diocese of Wellington and still feel a really strong belonging here. And also secondly, because I spent a lot of time watching the live stream during lockdown, so I felt like I got to see a subset of Whanganui from your house. So it's really good to be here with you in person. And so I'm the director of CMS, which is the Church Missionary Society, and it's really amazing when I stepped into this role as director 3 years ago, thinking about all the connections of the stories of this land, stories of people who have served overseas. And I think I know that this parish here has had strong connections of sending people globally, and also that the mission station was planted by CMS. So it feels really an honour to get to be with you today. A little bit about me on the next slide is that I spent 5 years sent by CMS working for the Anglican Church in Egypt. I was there during the revolutions. Everybody after the revolution went and took photos of tanks. That's why I have the photo there. But I'm really passionate about the role that CMS still plays in sending missionaries to serve the global church. So it's an honour to be in this role, sending other people out. And as I preach today, I really want to share a few of our founding stories of CMS. And really, these stories are founding stories for the whole Church of New Zealand, particularly for us Anglicans. And when I prepare sermons, I often think about this idea of 2 feet. And we have 1 foot that's in the scripture that we're given for this week, and the other foot in the context that we find ourselves in. And as I've been thinking about our context in New Zealand, that up until recently, our borders have been closed. We've been cut off from the rest of the world. We've been told to stay home and save lives, and it's been necessary, but sometimes it's felt quite fearful. It's felt uncertainty. And the sense that we've necessarily had closed down lives, that we've had to focus on safety. So this is emphatically not a sermon about public health measures, but really a wondering about how these habits shaped us as a church, how we see the world around us, how we engage with other people. And I think before the pandemic, we lived in general, overall in New Zealand, with a sense of stability, that things were largely in control. Maybe even we had an idol of safety and security in New Zealand. And I guess in my role now, I walk alongside missionaries who are kind of wrestling with that leaving and walking into the uncertainty. And wonder perhaps now for all of us, we're all kind of living in that space of, we're living in uncertainty. We're not sure what next year brings, what next week brings. And so just thinking about that context and holding that, just want to pause today and think, go to the scripture and think, what's the invitation and what's the challenge for us as Jesus followers in this context? So just on the next slide is this reading, which is quite short, so it fits on a slide. And here in the gospel reading, we have the disciples of Jesus encountering Christ after his resurrection for the first time. And on the next slide, you can see the kind of surprise that the disciples would have felt at Jesus walking in. And they're gathering on the evening of the first Easter Sunday. And John tells us that the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. There's real emphasis, the doors were locked. The disciples were fearful. And I think after the events of Good Friday, the disciples had chosen safety and security of a locked door, sealed off from others because of fear. In a sense that Jesus comes in kind of blatant disregard of this locked door, he comes and stands among them, breaks through their fear, shatters their attempts to seal themselves off. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." And on the next slide is a street sign. I think it's from Jerusalem, which has the Hebrew as well as the Arabic in the middle, Salam Aleikum. And when I was living in Egypt, there was a sense that that's just a really normal greeting. You see people on the street, you say Salam Aleikum, and they say Aleikum Salam. And I assume so in the world that Jesus lived in. It was kind of just this normal greeting, peace be with you. But I think there's a sense that in this gospel it's repeated twice. Jesus says this twice. And theologically speaking, after Jesus' resurrection, he kind of brings this new peace, this new shalom, a recreation of the world as it's always meant to be. So Jesus in this passage, he greets first with peace, the peace that he brings. And the next words on the slide are, "Just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And this language of sending is used throughout the Gospel of John. And it's actually where the language we use of mission comes from. So mission is just the Latin translation of the same Greek verb which is used here to send. And so if we think about sending and therefore mission, we think there's someone who's doing the sending, there's someone who's being sent, and there's a particular purpose or reason for being sent. And so in this first part of the sentence, Jesus is talking about himself. So God the Father has sent him. Jesus is one who's sent. And Jesus's mission is to bring the God's kingdom on earth, to bring God's reconciliation to all people. And I think there's a really good reminder here that's really encouraged me actually over these last 3 years, is that mission starts from God. Mission is first and foremost God's mission. I used to have this poster on the wall of my office which said, "Mission is finding out what God is doing and joining in." I quite like that it's not something that we have to make up ourselves, that's joining in what God's already doing. And I guess just being part of this church and hearing the notices of what God's already doing in your midst, it's really encouraging to me. And I think we can say that we can say these things, and maybe it just sounds like semantics, but I really think it makes a difference in how we live out mission in our lives, that it's not up to us, that we can seek God's will for us. And I think I've really known times of God, seeing God at work, people following God's prompting. And I wanted to tell a story from this land on the next slide of two men who came from just south of here in the Otaki, Waikanae area. So the man on the left is Tamihana Te Ropaha, and just north of where I live in Christchurch is a place called Kaiapoi. When he was 11 years old, Tamihana was with his father when there was a big massacre in this area. You can still go to the field where there's an urupa and see the site. Tamihana was actually transformed by the Gospel of Luke arriving in Otaki. So some of the freed slaves who were up in the Bay of Islands who learnt about the gospel from the missionaries came down south, shared the gospel. But also the actual written Gospel of Luke that was found around Te Rore's neck, some of you will know that story, made its way into the hands of Tamihana and Matane Te Whiwhi. And they were really transfixed by the words of the gospel. They said, "We learnt every day, every night. We did not lie down to sleep. We sat at night in the hut, all around the fire in the middle. Whiwhi had part of the book, and I part. Sometimes we went to sleep upon the book, then we woke up and read again." So they had this real yearning to learn more about Jesus. So they travelled all the way up to the Bay of Islands to seek for a missionary who could tell them the good news. They met a man called Octavius Hadfield. He was a man that he had actually been quite sick most of his life. And despite the sickness, he'd come from England with this kind of burning desire to share the gospel. He was actually pretty bored teaching at the mission school, so he was first to put up his hand and he said, "I will go. I know I shall not live long. I might as well die here as there." Hadfield did end up living a long time, and it was the beginning of this gospel partnership, which started at the invitation of Māori. And Tamihana and Matane, they both ended up being missionaries to the South Island. So they went back to Ngāi Tahu, to the place that they had been present at this massacre as a kid, and met the chiefs to share the gospel. And the chief said to them, you know, will your dad come and attack us again? He said, no, and he indeed will not. For I have indeed come hither to you to bring an end to warfare and to bind firmly peace by virtue of the words of the gospel of the Lord. And this story, I think, is so interconnected with so many different parts of the CMS story and the story of tangata whenua in this land that I guess I just see this stories of God's prompting, of God at work amongst his people here. So in the next bit, Jesus says, just as the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. So here it's Jesus that's doing the sending, and it's the disciples who are being sent out, the disciples who were gathered in the upper room, but by extension, all of us. And our purpose is to proclaim Christ as King, to work for God's kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And I think this language of sending has often been used more by mission agencies like NZCMS. But I really think here there's a challenge for us to say, no, this is not just missionaries that are sent. It's actually all of us. All of us are sent people. So to be a Christian, to be baptized into Jesus, is to be sent out into mission. We're all sent people, whether we're sent across the world or we're sent across the street. And I think sometimes also we talk about local and global mission, like it's two different things, but really it's just about our location. So whether in Whanganui or whether in another part of the world, we're all sent on mission. We're all sent out. And something actually I was reading this week really highlighted a new part of this passage. I love when you read scripture and you see more things that just before Christ said this, he shows them his hands and his side. So he shows them the marks on his hands where the nails had been, shows them the side where the sword had been. And there's a sense that as Jesus went into mission, it was vulnerable. It was full of deep love. It was sacrificing. And so we're sent out by Jesus and he gives us this example of mission. So I think there's a sense that as we go out into mission, we go out like Jesus. We might get wounded. We might, as we encountered the woundedness of the world, but that's part of God's mission and that vulnerability. And I think as we live out this commission of Jesus, there's a sense that it's about our posture. It's about saying, here I am, Lord, send me. And in the 18th century, on the next slide, there was a group that's a well-known group called the Clapham sect. So they lived in this area in the parish of Clapham near London. And I think there are a group of people who really lived out of that posture. They were people that had so deeply come to know Jesus and be transformed by Jesus that they went out to transform society around them. So they were the group that helped to end slavery. They were the group that worked for workers' rights. They even started the SPCA. So they had this kind of focus in the UK of making it a better place to be, making it more like God's kingdom. But they also had this kind of global calling. And so that's at the roots of CMS was in a pub called the Eagle and Falcon. It was a group that joined in and just had a burden for the world and seeing Christ's name proclaimed, seeing Christ's kingdom come all around the world. And I think as I read some of these stories, I think there was a real posture of boldness that they just said, here I am, send me. And I think in this passage, after Jesus sends his disciples, he next equips them for mission. So on the next slide, we see Jesus breathing on his disciples, and he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's described in Scripture as the first fruits, the foretaste of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit's a sign that God's already come, like the first fruits of a tree that's going to ripen, or a down payment of money that's going to come later. And we know that we live in a broken world, but we know that God's kingdom's not fully here, but we have the gift of the Spirit of Jesus. We start to live into this new creation. And I think one thing I noticed in this passage is there's a lot of kind of connections between the Gospel of John and the story of creation. So here we have it's about the first day, like the first day of creation. Here Jesus is breathing life, new life of the Spirit, just as God breathes into Adam. And we have the Spirit of God that was present in creation, now here in recreation. So this is a really significant moment in the life of the church. And the promise that we too receive the Spirit as we go out into mission, it's not by ourselves. So I think in this story we've seen the disciples are fearful. They're uncertain of what's going to happen. They're gathered behind locked doors. We too live in this time of uncertainty, a time that's shaken our sense of control, when our lives at times have felt more closed down. There's a man that some of you might know called Mark Sayers who does a podcast, and he was speaking recently in Christchurch, and he talked about that we're in the grey zone, that we've kind of left the known, but we don't know what the next few months, few years looks like. We're living in this time of uncertainty. But I think the promise of Scripture is that the disciples don't stay behind that locked door. Jesus sends them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we read the story of Acts, all these miraculous stories of the church growing. So in this passage, which is so short but it's so rich, we've seen that we take part in God's mission, that we get to listen to these divine promptings of what God's doing. We know that we're all sent people, that God is a sending God. He always goes ahead of us and invites us to join. And we know that we're equipped with the Holy Spirit. So I think there's both an invitation and a challenge here. I think the invitation is to know ourselves to be sent out by Jesus, who walks ahead of us. Know the Spirit is given to us to equip and to strengthen us, that we don't do mission in our own strength, but through the power of God, who's at work in the world, in and through us. But I think the challenge here is it's our choice to make about whether we take that step of being sent. So in the story, as we read the kind of story going on, the disciples overcame that fear, unlocked the door, lived with boldness, and there's a choice for us. So just as we finish this time, just want to pause together and just to spend a couple of minutes asking Jesus, what are the steps that we're invited into? And I think for me in my life, there's some quite big steps God's taken me, that kind of going to Egypt when I'd never been there before, it felt like a big step. But there's also a small steps. I've got a friend that I've recently made in Christchurch. They recently asked to do an Alpha course, which those things feel quite hard sometimes, but it was a little step of obedience of God's prompting. So just as we pause, let's pray to Jesus and ask him where he might be sending us. Father God, we thank you for your invitation. Thank you that you invite us to join you in what you're doing in this world. Father, just ask that as we put our hands up and say, send me, Lord, that you would send us to new places that would be obedient to your calling. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.